Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Christy Meinzer. Christy is on the show today talking about how a little seed goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Christy has written Playing in the Dirt, 90 Devotions for Crazy Plant Ladies. Today we chat about the great gardener who is tending to our souls and how God fosters the fruitfulness in our lives. Join us to be encouraged to continue liberally sowing seeds no matter how small they may seem and trust God to help them grow. Who knows who will end up benefiting from the fruit of your labor? Hi, Christy, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have you.
Hi, Rachel. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really honored to speak with you today and the Love Offering listeners.
So today's conversation is all about how a little seed goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. And you've written Playing with Dirt. And that is such a fun title. I love it so much. And so naturally, I feel like you would be a perfect fit for today's conversation. And I read that you started your first job at the age of 11, driving a combine harvester during wheat harvesting season. So is this true? And I'd love for you just to tell us a little bit about your upbringing.
Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I grew up on a farm in Southwest Kansas where we raised crops, including wheat and corn and milo and sunflowers. And farming is a family business. So everyone works to support it. Everyone pitches in, everyone has a job. So if you grew up on a farm, you know, and even from a young age, I was helping out on the farm. But yes, at 11, they put me in the combine and they said, all right, you get to drive this. So I think that's kind of humorous. I didn't have my driver's license to drive on the highway, but here I am driving this massive machinery, piece of machinery. But yeah, so that was my summer job from age 11 all through high school and even a little bit through college. And I really, really loved it. Agriculture was just in my blood. And even though I don't work in that field anymore, I really value the upbringing that I had and the lessons that it taught me. And it's just kind of a fun conversation starter, obviously, to talk about, you did what? When? Oh my goodness. Just something that not a lot of people are familiar with. So I love to talk about it.
Well, so this is a terrible joke, but it made me laugh and giggle to myself. Like, you don't work in that field anymore. Like that's a pun, right?
Unintentional, but I suppose so. Yes.
You call yourself a crazy plant lady. So when did you realize your love for nature and how has that grown over the years? We have all kinds of puns.
Yes. You know, when you write a book like this, you kind of just have to embrace the puns. And there are even a few little, they call them creative pages in the book where there's just like this beautiful design. And I got to write like a pithy statement or a joke or a pun. There are a lot of puns on those creative pages in the book. So yes, all that to say, I love puns. We can just throw in any puns in this conversation that you like.
We're so funny today.
So funny.
We think so, right?
Yes. It's easy to laugh at your own puns. But yeah. So I mean, growing up on a farm, when your family's livelihood depends on growing healthy crops, the love for nature is just pretty much instilled in you. The better your crops are, the better you do. So there's definitely a symbiotic relationship there. And I just can't remember like not ever having my hands in the dirt. Sometimes it was the wheat field. Other times it was in our family garden. I loved watering the garden as a kid, but I was a little trickster though, because I would go turn on the hose about as slow as it could go. And I would just take my sweet time with it. And I'm sure I was probably trying to get out of other chores, but I also just really loved like looking at the plants and like pruning the plants, picking off the little dead leaves, and waste a lot of time doing that. But I'd also eat our sugar snap peas straight off the vine. Oh my gosh, more than once, I definitely had to answer to my mom why there were no peas for supper. Sorry, I ate them all. I was watering the garden. So definitely just, it's been in my blood.
My memory, my grandmother had a green thumb, and she had raspberry bushes, I guess, or raspberry plants. I don't know. Are they bushes or plants?
Bushes.
Bushes.
Yeah, they call them bushes.
And so, we would always eat like the raspberries, but she would make raspberry jelly and jam, I guess. And so that was always my memory growing up, and like picking everything, and then we would pick them dry every time that she would, so she wouldn't be able to make as much as she would of the jelly that she would have liked to, I'm sure. But so you've always had a green thumb, do you think, or do you think that that's developed over the years?
Always had it. Yeah, I mean, I talk to people who are like, oh, I can't grow plants. They always die. And I think, what's so difficult? You just got to give them some water and sunlight. And maybe the fact that I think it's so simple or easy just is because it's been in my blood. I've always done it. And I just don't know any other way. And obviously a blessing from the Lord.
It's true. And so
Yeah.
What do you think that you love so much about playing in the dirt? I mean, like, do you think that it's just being outside in nature? Do you think it is because it's takes you back to, like, I don't know, connects you with the Lord? What is it about playing in the dirt that you love?
Yeah, I do think it connects me back to my Kansas farm girl roots. You know, I'm not raising crops for a living anymore, but I can still care for plants and watch them grow, and just the process of tending to the plants and caring for something, there's purpose in that, right? You know, we get to experience a little bit of, you know, the work that God calls us to do, whether that be farming or whatever occupation or vocation. You know, we all have different work, but I feel that personally for myself when I'm in my sunroom now with all of my plants, and just getting to care for them and nurture them is really fulfilling.
Yeah. Well, and you can see the fruit of your labor, right?
Yeah.
Like it is like an immediate kind of gratification. And I think that that is fulfilling. And I love how creation starts and ends in the garden, you know, talking about that there is, I think, such a connection with nature and with the Lord. And your devotional sheds light on the great gardener who is tending to our souls and how he fosters the fruitfulness in our lives. And so I'd love for you to expand on this thought.
Thank you. Yeah, I love that symbolism as well. Obviously, being a plant lady, I'm drawn to that symbolism and the ideas and the scenes in scripture that are connected to a garden or harvesting and tending and all of those things that kind of go along with plants and crops and agriculture. So those stories resonate with me. But I was listening to a podcast recently hosted by a friend from college, and he shared such an interesting perspective. And I knew I would be talking to you soon about this. And it was just one of those God moments where I was like, okay, there's something here. And I just love what he shared about the garden being a place of protection. You mentioned the story of scripture, you know, Genesis 1, they're in the garden. God creates, and then, you know, humans are in the garden and they're communing with God. And there was this peace and protection and community. I mean, there was perfection in the beginning. The Garden of Eden and man's relationship with God in it was perfect, right? And I think that's a really powerful symbol of God's intentions. You know, he intended us to be in that community and that perfect relationship with him. And then, of course, you know, you get to Genesis 3 and sin happens, sin enters the world, and everything just goes crazy. And, you know, then we have the story of redemption working through the rest of the Bible. But I think going back to that beginning, that perfect protection and peace that we got to experience through the story, those first couple chapters of the Word, just sheds light on God's intentions for us, and being in a garden or in nature is just one of the many ways we can experience His love and care for us here on earth right now.
So you're gonna have to tell us, what's the podcast? Because we're gonna put it in the show notes.
Oh, they're gonna love that. It's called The Sharpening. And I think there are a couple of other podcasts that have similar names, but this one kind of has like a sword image as its podcast image, kind of with an open laid Bible in the background. So look for The Sharpening.
You're going to have to send it to me, and then we're going to put it in the show notes, because now everybody's going to be like, okay, I need to go and listen to that as well. And so we're going to forward them that. But, you know, Jesus talked a lot about nature and seeds and harvest too. And so what stands out most to you from His teaching on the subject?
Such a broad question. I feel like we could talk about this probably for a really long time. But I'm intrigued by paradoxes, and not just in the Bible. I mean, the Bible's full of them, but I love statements that are kind of contradictory, or they seem just plain crazy sometimes, because I love how they make me think. If I really want to like chew on something, I'll find that tension in there. And I think about a story in the Gospels, in Matthew and Mark, where Jesus compares the kingdom of God to a mustard seed, and how when it's sown, it's smaller than all the other seeds, but when it grows up, it's larger than all the other plants around it. And one version of scripture, I think, even says that, you know, it becomes a huge oak tree, and it has long, large branches, and birds nest in it, and they find shade in this. And I mean, there's the tension right there. This tiny little seed becomes the biggest plant eventually. And I know it sounds kind of strange maybe, but I like that analogy, and about how the church has and is growing. And as the church, we find our rest in Christ. And it's just an interesting picture. I think that's something I at least can chew on for a while, and maybe others can too. People probably also, of course, know or think about the line that Jesus said in Luke about having faith the size of a mustard seed. And I love that kind of paradox there too, because even when our faith feels weak, or it feels small as the tiniest seed there is, a mustard seed, if our faith is in Him, our faith is strong, because there is nothing our God can't do. It's not about our faith. It's about where our faith is placed. And that's just a really cool perspective to me.
It's really cool to me too. And I'm just thinking about, I did the Gospel on the Ground study by Christy McClellan, and she talked about the mustard seed and how small it is and how quickly it can grow and how it's when it's scattered and how it can spread. And that's what the gospel is. And that's something that we can all do. And I'm just so inspired by that. And like, we can all scatter that seed. And that's something that we're all called to do. And that feels small to us sometimes. But that's something we can all scatter the seed, and we can all water the seed. And that kind of leads me into the next question about kind of like the fruit of our labor. And so I think it's hard when we don't experience the fruit of our labor. So how do you reconcile that in your own life and keep planting seeds anyway?
Yeah, good question. I remember that mustard seed, and I remember that having faith is powerful. Even if my faith feels small, if I place it in Jesus, you know, not in myself, not in my abilities, not in anyone else or anything else, but I put my faith in Christ in the right place, that faith yields fruit because of God's power and what God can do. And yes, He calls us to work. That's not to say, you know, we don't need to cast the seed, like you were just saying. We all have a part to play in this. And we're called to be on mission for Him, but He is the one who is at work in and through us. And so I tell myself if when I don't see the fruit of my labor in the way I maybe expected to see it, I have to trust that God is still at work. And maybe I won't ever see the fruit or bring in the harvest for a particular circumstance or situation in my lifetime, but I had an impact, or God had an impact through me. Or maybe it's another way where, or another scenario where I got in the way and I didn't do the work God called me to do. Or maybe I tried to take things too much into my own hands and I tried to just control a situation to get an outcome that I wanted. And in that case, I hope I never see the fruit of that labor. You know, I hope that it's like the seed that's scattered on rocky soil and it just dies. And that I realize that I was acting out of, you know, my own selfishness or pride or whatever it is. And that I return to God and repent of that and say, like, Lord, it's all about you. I trust you. I want your way above my way. Help me to follow you. So sometimes I want to see the seeds, and sometimes I'm glad that I don't.
It's a really good point, actually. I hadn't even thought about like the flip side of that, of planting seeds that we hope that we don't get the fruit of. So have you ever benefited from the fruit of someone else's labor? And the reason I ask this is because we moved into a farmhouse where somebody had already planted a garden that she had done all the work, bless her heart. And then we got to have like all the fruit. And I mean, I felt so terrible because it was a beautiful garden and she didn't get to enjoy any of it. And then we moved, and then I was a terrible gardener. And then the people that moved into the house after us, like, oh, bless their hearts, they didn't get near the garden that we moved in when we moved into got to enjoy. So that's where this question's coming from. But the question for you is, have you ever benefited from the fruit of someone else's labor?
Oh, I love that for you. First of all,
I
what
know,
a
right?
Gift to just be the recipient of this garden and the vegetables and everything I'm sure you got from that. Gardening, you know, while I think maybe it's a simple process, light and water, it also is pretty difficult and time intensive. So to reap the benefits without putting in all of that work, what a blessing. Oh,
it
my
was.
Goodness. I have never been gifted a garden, but I think about a couple of examples where I have benefited from the fruit of someone else's labor. And talking to you and writing, playing in the dirt are two very real and relevant examples that came to mind immediately. This was an opportunity that I did not seek out. The way this opportunity came to me initially, I have a writer friend named Kristen Kortner, and her husband is the youth pastor at our church. They moved to town a couple of years ago, and my husband and I just hit it off with Kristen and her husband right away. And Kristen is an aspiring author. And this is kind of one of those stories where you have to connect the dots between all the different relationships. But one of the students in Kristen's husband's youth group, her mom is the managing editor at Dayspring Cards over their books division. And so Kristen was actually reaching out to this editor about writing a devotional for Dayspring. And the editor said, well, you know, I've got this idea about a devotion for plant ladies. Do you know anything about plants? And Kristen, my poor friend Kristen, bless her heart, she's like, no, she's one of the black thumbs. She's like, I can't keep plants alive. You don't want me writing this book. I'm not the right choice for this at all. And she said, but I know someone who might be. And she shared that with me and connected me with Dayspring. And a year later, like, here we have Playing in the Dirt, and I'm an author. And I just owe such a debt of gratitude to Kristen and to Dayspring, because this book would have never happened. I would have never written a book without her just starting that process and bringing that opportunity to me, and just the Lord at work through all of the people in this circumstance has just been a blessing and something I never expected, and a wonderful, wonderful experience and much fruit has come from it. So I love that example as the answer to that question.
I would love to hear what is some of the fruit that has come from your devotional, like maybe in your heart or maybe in the lives of others.
So I wrote this book last year, and the timing was, on one hand, strange, but also on the other hand, could not have been better timing. So my husband was actually out of state and halfway across the country for the better part of a year almost. He had just some situations at work that he needed to be remote and away from Arkansas, away from our home, to oversee these things at work for a really long time. And I started writing this book shortly after he left. And so I was dealing with a whole bunch of just new situations, emotions, everything was going on. It was a stressful time for him. I'm like doing life by myself, taking care of our dog, going to work, writing a book, and just keeping life going over here. So it was overwhelming, but it, you know, and it produced fruit in my life because it connected me back to God probably more than I maybe would have been in that situation. I could have seen how I very easily might have just withdrawn or given into the stress or the overwhelm just with all of the newness of the situation. But being in the Word every day, writing this book, it just kept me super, super connected to God and to His Word. And I'm so thankful for that. But that's a selfish answer. That's what it did for me. I love hearing from people like yourself or friends or acquaintances who have read it and have just said, "This is an awesome book." That makes me feel good, but I also love that, again, it's connecting people back to God. And yes, it's a fun book, it's a beautiful book, but the words are meant to point to someone else, not to me, not even to plants. Like, it's all about getting back to God and pointing back to His words. So the fact that those connections have happened for people just is really fulfilling and makes me feel like the effort was worthwhile.
So would you say that that is your hope for your readers? Like, is that what you hope that they experience when they read your devotional, Playing with Dirt?
Absolutely. I want them to, of course, have that connection. I also hope it's fun. Like, this is a fun book. It's a little playful. It's a little punny, like we talked about before. And if you're a plant lady or a plant person, there's some inside jokes in here for you. There's just a little a subculture, I guess, or things that, like, if you know, you know, and you can kind of laugh about it. So I hope that those connections just endear people to the book and make them want to keep reading and keep coming back to it. And through the time that people spend in this, like I said, I hope that they get that connection back to God. Like, plant people know there's a deep plant love connection. We love our plants, but I want that to mirror God's love for us. And I hope that it churns people to Him, and that they experience His love for them and they feel that in their hearts and they praise Him for that and seek that more and more.
Putting you majorly on the spot, but I need to hear one of the jokes. Do you have one? Like just.
Yes, I think it's probably one of
like
the
immediately.
Yes, one of the first. I think it's like the first five. One of the first five devotionals in the book. I can't remember which number it is, but the premise of it is how crazy plant ladies go to the on sale section at the plant store or Lowe's or Home Depot or whatever. And we find the ones that are like sick and scraggly and they look brown and they're half dead because the employees forgot to water them the day before, something like that. And, you know, they're just trying to get rid of them or they're going to throw them out. And crazy plant ladies, like, those are our money plants. that's the treasure trove right there. It's not the pretty plants out front that look beautiful and, you know, are selling for full price. We want the cheap plants that are almost dead, because we know that we can take them back home, and with our love and our nurturing and all our fussing, we can bring them back to life. And then it's okay that we have like 100 plants in the house because we got them on sale. My husband does not agree with that, but that's the plant lady way.
That's the plant lady way. Oh my gosh. You just need to come to my house and you can just have all of mine for free.
That free plants. You say that and people will come running.
No, so my daughter, have you ever heard of, it's Growing Florette? I think she's on Discovery Plus. Have you ever watched that?
No, but it sounds like something I would be interested in.
I think you would. This is free advertisement. But so my daughter, Kate, and I, we've been watching it. And so she it's not a cutting garden, but she grows them and she plants them to grow to seed. And then we just bought the seeds because we want to do, not necessarily like for like a garden to eat, but a garden like of flowers. And so we just got some seeds to plant. We got some dahlias. We're going to try that first. And so anyway, we're right on the verge of planting our seeds. So stay tuned, everyone.
I will be listening every episode for an update. That sounds incredible. Oh my goodness. That's actually
next on pins
next
and
on...
needles, I'm sure.
Yes. That's next on my list too. I would love a pollinator garden, just with flowers and bushes and everything that attracts the bees and the moths. And I think that's just such a beautiful, beautiful setting. So I might have to get some dahlias.
Yeah, everybody follow Christy for this advice, not me, but for what to do. You can follow me for what not to do on this topic. Okay, so getting a little bit more serious, well, or maybe, I don't know. So how has a little seed gone a long way in your own life? Be spiritual or not, either one. We've gone a little bit of, done a little bit of both in today's episode.
It's been so fun. I'm still growing in my walk with God, in my faith. Like, the seeds of my life haven't reached harvest yet. I suppose some of them have. I mean, the seed of this book reached harvest and we have Playing in the Dirt. But I get excited in the morning when I wake up and get to see what God does next. I have an adventurous spirit. So when I think of every day as an adventure, you know, like, what's going to happen? What is God going to do? And how do I get to be part of it? That just sets the tone for my entire day. So it's seeing what seeds I could plant, or what seeds that have been planted might grow, or what fruit I might see. And just saying, like, God, I'm here and I'm willing. However you want to use me, please, please let me get out of my own way and honor you in what I do. So I love the fact that there's more to come.
Yeah. And I love that too. And I just want to be mindful too. I'm just thinking about the seasons, you know, like sometimes there is a planting season, like there's spring, summer, winter, and fall. Like sometimes there's pruning seasons. Sometimes it's going to be really dormant and there's going to be, you know, I don't know. Do you have anything to say on that as we're playing in the dirt? Like sometimes it's just going to be winter and there's like no growth. The growth is happening underneath. Do you have anything to say on that as we're kind of wrapping up?
I love, yes, that you brought up seasons. And we've been talking pretty much this whole time, you know, about the planting season or the harvest season. And those are the really exciting times because you feel like you're doing something, I suppose. You know, if it's planting season, you are putting the seeds in the ground, or you are preparing for something to happen in your life. And we kind of like control, right? You know, we want to feel like we're having control over a situation. So the planting season is exciting. And then of course the harvest season, when we get to see the fruits of our labor or reap the reward of our work, whatever it might be, obviously that's exciting for us too. But the dormant seasons, no one talks about those. I'm trying to think, do I even have a devotional about it in this book? I might not. I think I do. Hopefully I do. But you know, we give a lot less time and thought and attention to that, but that's so important too. Going back to the Kansas roots that I know, when your soil lays dormant for the winter, it's rebuilding nutrients. Things are happening that will prepare a healthier crop the next season, even though it looks like nothing is happening. And I think the same can be said for our lives too, or things that we're going through. If it's a season of waiting and dormancy, it's really easy to think God's not at work. But maybe he's doing the equivalent of rebuilding those nutrients in us, in our heart. Maybe he's building our faith or saying, like, trust me, I need you to have faith in me. I need to strengthen your heart in this area. So there's purpose and value in every season, whether it's exciting and visible or the work's happening underneath the surface.
Beautiful. What a beautiful way to close. And so I know I want to stay connected with you, Christy. I'm sure listeners are going to want to. And so tell us how we can best do that.
Yeah. Listeners can find the book Playing in the Dirt on dayspring.com or amazon.com just by searching Playing in the Dirt devotional. And if listeners would like to connect with me personally, they can find me on Instagram at KSChristy, KRISTY. KS stands for Kansas back in the day. So, and I'm just a normal person. I post about my dog and silly things my husband does, and of course my plants, and would love to just connect with your listeners there.
So Christy, thank you for being my guest today on the Love Offering Podcast and for helping us to believe that a little seed goes a long way and encouraging us to play in the dirt.
Thank you so much, Rachel. I had a wonderful time. Thank you for this conversation. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Christy Meinzer. We hope that today encouraged you to play in the dirt and to believe that a little seed goes a long way. This week, your little task is to plant a seed and watch it grow as a daily reminder of God's work in your life. If you're interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your weekly Love Offering newsletter, and all of this information can go straight to your inbox each week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes, you can read the blog series, you can purchase significant merchandise, you can download free resources, and you can review the podcast. If you have not yet rated and reviewed the Love Offering podcast, I would so appreciate if you would take the time to do that, just so more women can find and hear this Love Offering message. Also, if you have read A Little Goes a Long Way, I'd appreciate a review of that book as well, just wherever you purchased that book, so other people can find and read the devotional as well. Next week, my guest is Victoria Doorstock. She is on the show talking about how a little kindness goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then, but until then, I hope you have a terrific week, and as always, remember to lead with love.